Today's sermon is Fear of the, the scripture verses is Deuteronomy 11, chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereupon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. You may be seated. I'm going to read before I start this message something that's not on the wall. It was an email I received from Liverpool, England. It says, "Greetings here in Liverpool, England. As a Bible-believing Protestant, I find your points of view a refreshing change to all the lies published in Zog Media. I have just left the church I have attended for a number of years due to the influx of African migrants into the congregation. The world has truly gone mad. If my views offend you, I can only apologize, but I will not retract them. Yours in the Protestant cause," and he gave his name. Well, I wrote him back. I said, "Thanks for your email. We are in agreement. The world has truly gone mad, especially the churches. When they let in African migrants in the congregation, they're nothing more than Baal churches." He wrote back, "Many thanks for your kind reply. I do not feel as isolated as I did before receiving your email. Trust in the Lord and he will deliver. Yours sincerely." Well, there's people out there. There's not very many. But it's not a numbers game. This sermon, he mentioned about your points of view, a refreshing change to all the lies published in the Zog Media. Now, that's in England. This sermon's got something to do with that. So I hope he hears this message and will enjoy it. Who are the verses that we read about in Deuteronomy chapter 11 talking about? The Lord will drive out what nations before who? What nation will be the victor over all the nations that it encounters? This verse pertains only to his covenant people Israel, the elect of God. The Lord will drive out all these seven nations of the Canaanites from before Israel. And anywhere that Israel goes, God will lay the fear and dread of his nation upon all the land that Israel shall tread upon if they keep the commandments that God gave them. In other words, Israel will be a special nation over all nations of the earth if they keep his commandments. But who is Israel today? Most Christians and other peoples believe that it is the Jews. They believe that the two words are synonyms and of each other and can be used interchangeably. Moses was a Jew. Judah was a Jew. Abraham was a Jew, and Jesus was a Jew, are views that are non-controversial to most of them. But what about the Talmud, the so-called holy book of the Jews? Didn't Jesus say something about the oral traditions of this book before it was translated into a written form? And one discussion he had with the Pharisees, he explained to them, quote, "In vain they," referring to the Pharisees, "do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." It's Matthew 15:9. The question is, as it is in most issues stirring controversy today, who do you believe and what do you believe? For example, what form of government is the United States under today? Is it a republic, a democracy, or does it have some hidden, shadowy influence that has some puppet-like dictator in control of our branches of government? We know that it started out as a republic, but somehow it switched to a democracy. But read the words of an influential Jew who exposes certain aspects of the inter-invisible world of Jewry, which reveals the modes and tactics Jews have used in destroying Christian civilization and covertly attaining control over our lives and governments. The result has been a hidden tyranny upon us, like the tyranny waged against the saints by the red beast of Revelation referred to as Mystery Babylon. The Jews never possessed any religious institution which developed out of their own consciousness, for they lack any kind of idealism. This means that a belief in life beyond this terrestrial existence is foreign to them. As a matter of fact, the Talmud does not lay down principles from which to prepare the individual for a life to come, but furnishes only rules for a sumptuous life in this world. It is a collection of instructions for maintaining the Jewish race and regulating intercourses between them and the Goy. The Jewish doctrines are not concerned with moral problems, but rather how to get. Jesus Christ made no secret of his estimation of the Jews and the fact that he was not one of them. When it was necessary, he drove them out of the temple of God because then, as always, the Jews used their religion as a means of advancing their commercial interests. The Jews plotted the crucifixion of Jesus Christ because of his attitude towards them, whereas modern Christians debase themselves by begging for Jewish votes to win elections. They even enter political intrigues with the Jews against the interest of their own nation. To conceal their nature and protect their status and power. The Jews have established 5 major lies. These lies are as follows. Number 1, the Jews are Israelites and thus God's elect. 2, Jesus Christ was a Jew. 3, 6 million Jews were killed in a Holocaust during World War II. 4, all races are equal, or all races are brothers. And 5, the Jews are just another religious group. The Jews are obliged to conceal their own character and mode of life, so that they will be allowed to continue their existence as a parasite among the nations. Their success in this line has gone so far that many believe that the Jews among them are genuine Frenchmen, or Englishmen, or Italians, or Germans, or Americans who just happen to belong to a religious denomination which is different from that prevailing in these countries. Especially in circles concerned with government, where the officials have only a minimum of historical sense, the Jews can impose their infamous deception with comparative ease. The last half dozen or so paragraphs contain what an influential Jew stated as being the case in America. Is he correct that America is run by a hidden collection of mostly Jews? Or are we a republic or a democracy with the elections providing us with our leaders? Are we all brothers? Was comedian George Carlin correct when he said, quote, voting gives the American public the illusion of choice, unquote? Consider what Carol Quigley, in his popular book, Tragedy and Hope, said about the political structure in the United States. I'm quoting from the book. The argument that two parties should represent opposed ideas and policies, one perhaps of the right and the other of the left, is a foolish idea acceptable only to doctrinaire and academic thinkers. Instead, the two parties should be almost identical so that the American people can, quote, throw the rascals out, unquote, at any election without leading to any profound or extensive shifts in policy. The policies that are vital and necessary for America are no longer subjects of significant disagreement, but are disputable only in details of procedure, priority, or method. Either party in office becomes in time corrupt, tired, unenterprising, and vigorless. Then it should be possible to replace it every 4 years, if necessary, by the other party, which will be none of these things, but will stir purges with new vigor, approximately the same basic policies, unquote. Was he correct? Or is the nation divided among two opposing parties? The highly paid radio and television commentators for each party will never let America discuss the following important questions. Instead, they will discuss until the cows come home secondary questions that will not make a major difference. The following are examples of questions that you will seldom ever hear discussed on their shows. Number one. Are we going to let America be a separatist power or a nation that saves the world for democracy? Question number two. Are we going to allow the Federal Reserve Bank to exist, or are we a nation that is helping the world to be a slave to the debt system? Question number three. It is not a question, should we have big government or a smaller government, but who should the government serve? Question number four. If we say that we believe what the Bible teaches, then why do we have a legislative branch of government? Why do we have a pluralistic tolerance to other religions? Why is our nation not separate from all other cultures and different peoples? Why is our government run by Satanists and the occult? The following are some examples of huge differences of opinion among some important concepts. Which one do you believe? Or do you believe that both are wrong? Today's sermon will deal with the last sentence in question four. Why is our government run by Satanists and the occult? But first, let's consider a couple of other questions. 1948 Red Cross versus Jewish tradition. Do you believe what the International Red Cross wrote in 1948 about how many Jews died in concentration camps in World War II? Or do you believe the people who say they are chosen of God and that they lost 6 million of their people, many gassed to death in German concentration camps? Here's what the International Red Cross said in 1948. I'm giving a quote. In 1948, the International Red Cross produced its detailed 3-volume report of German concentration camps inmates during World War II. It states that 272,000 internees died, of who less than 140,000 were Jewish. Did the International Red Cross lie in their statement in 1948? It is a significant difference, less than 140,000 compared to 6 million. Why have the authorities never found a corpse or a huge pile of ashes from the insidious number of executions that were performed at these very elementary gas chamber showers? The Diary of Anne Frank, Real or a Hoax? While I was in high school, we were required to read The Diary of Anne Frank. I don't know if you were, but we were required to read it. I read it and thought it was a true account. But, here's the quote. Portions of Anne Frank's famous diary describe Jewish persecution were written with a ballpoint pen. However, the ballpoint pen was not invented until 1938 in Argentina and was not in public production until 1951. This alone, with considerable internal evidence, proves her diary is a hoax, written long after supposed death in the camps by an adult in New York City. I can testify to the ballpoint pen. We used to have ink-filled pens in school. Had to give a dime or a quarter to each class to buy a huge bottle of ink. When the ballpoint pen came out, several teachers, especially the English teachers, said you could not use a ballpoint pen. It will ruin your handwriting, which it certainly has. I never see anybody with a fountain pen anymore. Anne Frank, while hiding in Holland, wrote her daily movements and thoughts in her diary with a ballpoint pen that wasn't even available to her. Her wealthy father was sued and lost in court. A noteworthy decision of the New York Supreme Court confirms this point of view in that the well-known American writer Meyer Levin had been awarded $50,000 paid to him by the father of Anne Frank. Did Anne Frank somehow come up with a ballpoint pen in the early 1940s and write her diary in Holland? It was found several years after her death and became a huge bestseller. Supreme Court New York disagrees. What do you believe? Are the Jews our masters? In the West, the media has so brainwashed and pre-programmed the masses that any criticism, legitimate or otherwise, of Israel or Jews would immediately be met with raised eyebrows. Consider the statement from Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, given in October 2010. Quote, Goyim, non-Israelites, were born only to serve us Jews. Without that, they have no place in the world. Only to serve the people of Israel. That's why he, the Gentile, gets a long life to work well for the Jews. Why are Gentiles needed? They will work, they will plow, they will reap. We Jews will sit like an ephendi, which is master, and eat. That is why Gentiles were created, end quote. That quote was made a little more than 6 years ago. Are we born just to serve the Jews? Are we to serve our Lord? What do you believe? Now I'm going to talk about WikiLeaks emails about a spiritual cooking dinner. WikiLeaks released emails between Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, John Podesta, and Marina Abramovich about a spiritual cooking dinner. In these emails, it invited Podesta to come to her own house and to invite his brother to join them for dinner. Podesta had given her $10,000, and because of this donation, he was invited to come to the special spiritual cooking dinner. And that's really threw the election up for grabs. Who is Marina Abramović anyway? Marina was born in Belgrade, Serbia, which is now Yugoslavia, and I got a map of this. The story begins in Belgrade, Serbia in 1946. So how old is she? 70 years old. She don't look 70. It was very close where Von Trapp was born and grew up. A young girl, Marina, was born to two dysfunctional parents. Later, she had a brother. The girl remembers the terrible linguistic fights her parents had in many battles in her young life. One time, he broke 12 champagne glasses and left. Very, very turbulent. When she was in her late 20s, Marina Abramović performed a terrifying experiment. At a gallery in her native Belgrade, Serbia, she laid out 72 items on a table and invited the public to use them on her in any way they saw fit. She laid on the table and did nothing as people would go to the table and take one of the items that were laying there. She took the responsibility for anything that anyone would do to her in writing. She had a sign, handwritten sign, that said she took all responsibility. That meant they could kill, rape, and torture her if they so pleased. They would not be guilty. She would take the blame. Now, some of the items were benign. A feather boa, some olive oil, roses, wine, honey, perfume, a piece of bread, grapes, and others were not. There was a pistol with one bullet, a knife, scissors, nails, a scalpel, a metal bar, a whip, a condom, and etc. In fact, one man took the gun and aimed it at her head. A museum guard grabbed the person and took the pistol from him before he could do any harm to Marina. Another guard stopped the man from raping her. One person stuck the knife between her legs. Several others cut her clothes with the scissors. And I won't go into all the details, but after the end of 6 hours, she walked away dripping with blood and tears. She was stripped naked, but she was alive. In the spring of 2010, at the Museum of Modern Art, held what was, until now, their largest exposition of performance art. A respective of Marina Abramović's work entitled The Artist is Present. The exhibition included recreations of the Serbian artist's most famous works, all of which supported the main performance. One in which the artist sat immobile in the museum's atrium, while spectators took turns sitting in front of her. So she sat in this seat, and she was as still as she could be. And then one by one, the guests came up and sat in a chair opposite her. No words were said. They just looked at each other. The performance ran for a total of 736 hours. Divide that by 24, comes out around 30 days. With 1,545 people sitting across from her saying nothing. 1,500 people sit across her. She just stared at them. Man, that is something. And then there is the spirit cooking video. Abramović made this video where she painted on blank walls in the blood of a pig, signs that told the recipes of her cooking. Now, there's a whole video of this. You can get it on YouTube. There are about a dozen walls all painted with recipes. For example, a mixture of breast milk, sperm, and blood, sometimes menstrual, to be eaten off somebody laying in a tub of it. This ritual was taken from Aleister Crowley, probably the most well-known occultist of all time. Marina just made it more disgusting and vile. She is a disciple of Aleister Crowley. Now we'll see a picture of her. There she is. Marina Evans is wearing a Knights of Malta cross. If you know Knights of Malta, you know what that is. I got this from Wikipedia. Maria Abramovich, and it gives all the names in Syrian and so forth. Born November 30th, 1946, is a Yugoslavia-born performance artist. Was Serbia, but now it's Yugoslavia. Her work explores the relationship between performer and audience, the limits of the body, and the possibilities of the mind. Active for over three decades, Abramovich has been described as the grandmother of performance art. She pioneered a new notion of identity by bringing in the participation of observers, focusing on confronting pain, blood, and physical limits of the body. She is best known for her spirit cooking occult rituals with members of the Democratic Party. She is best known for her spirit cooking occult rituals with members of the Democratic Party. Wikipedia says she is best known for her spirit cooking occult rituals with members of the Democratic Party. If you look it up now, the part in yellow has been deleted. At least it was when I looked it up. Why? It was deleted after the information was revealed about John Podesta's emails with Abramovich. Marina held a spirit cooking dinner for the Museum of Contemporary Art annual gala in Los Angeles, California in 2011. Now, if you wanted to go to this thing, individual tickets to the MOCA gala range from $2,500 to $10,000 each. Now, if you wanted a table, the gala table prices range from $25,000 to $100,000 each. The dinner consisted of cheese pizza, noodles, and two walnuts. If you know the code, translated, it means very young girls and boys of mixed ethnicity. Whether they were available after the dinner is not known. There were alcoholic drinks available prior to and during the meal, and Wolfgang Puck's restaurant cooked the dinner. It was bizarre. That's all I can say. The entertainers and dinner came in as cadavers carried on sticks by four shirtless men. The main course and desserts were shaped as naked females. For dessert, there were two cakes, a chocolate one made in Abramovich's likeness and another in red velvet that resembled Blondie front woman Debbie Harry. The normally joyous act of cutting cake looked extremely creepy. Now, before you turn, I'm going to show you some pictures. I hope they're not too bad. I left the worst ones out. This is Los Angeles, California. Here's the first one. They could be. one of the two dessert cakes being carved. This is not a real person. It's shaped like a naked woman. They're cutting cake off of her leg. And there's the naked, the shirtless waiters. And you can see the sticks that they carry her in on. She was covered up with a white sheet. Here is the governor of California, Jerry Brown's table. This is probably a $100,000 table. The naked girl with a skeleton on top of her. Abramovich was training to perform young people for such meager pay that it amounted to abuse by the rich. She's talking about the young people here, and also I'll show you the other people who had their heads sticking out of the table. Their job was either lie naked under plastic skeletons, what this girl's here is doing, revolving on the $100,000 dinner tables, or poke their heads through the $50,000 and $25,000 tabletops while turning themselves on lazy Susans and locking eyes with guests throughout the evening. Man, that would make me. I pay $25,000 to look at this person. Here's another picture of the model. All right, and this is a live head. He's underneath the table on a lazy Susan. Now, this is table number 60 and table 61. Look at that. It's a massive crowd at this spirit dinner. And the next picture. Now, this is probably not a live head. It's probably a head made by the artist and stuck there. And they just this is a caker's main meal. I don't know where it is, main meal or what it is. Here's the waiters bringing the food as a corpse, see. And then the next picture, here is Marina in the white. And Debbie Harry is in the red. Debbie Harry was brought out on the, carried by the four people. She sang in this thing. Here's when the cake is almost gone, what it looked like. And here's Gwen Stefani. She was one of the celebrities at the Gala Affair. Now I'm going to talk about Lady Gaga. Her name is Stephanie Joanne Angelina Germontia, also known as Lady Gaga. Describes this about Marina. Now, this is direct quotes. She was interviewed, and she said these exact words. What do you think about Marina? She said, I am obsessed by Abramovich. This woman is so incredible. She is a limitless human being. Marina, I think you are so wonderful, unquote. And if I wanted to, I could put the YouTube up there. You could see her saying these words. July 2013, Abramovich worked with pop singer Lady Gaga on the singer's third album, which was entitled Art Pop. Gaga's work with Abramovich, as well as artist Jeff Koons and Robert Wilson, was displayed at an event entitled Art Rave on November 10th. Furthermore, both have collaborated on projects supporting the Marina Abramovich Institute, including Gaga's participation in Abramovich Method video and a nonstop reading of Stanislaw Lem's sci-fi novel Solaris. Now I got a picture of Marina with a goat head. Then I got a picture of Lady Gaga and Marina tasting a spiritual cooking meal. It looks like blood, but it's not blood. This guy's in this pot, and they're sticking stuff in there and eating it. Marina carved this on her belly, a pentagram, right smack on her belly. I'm going to just take a few of the words from one of Gaga's popular songs. And the song is so long, I just took a few of it. It says, oh, there ain't no other way, baby, I was born this way. Baby, I was born this way. Oh, there ain't no other way, baby, I was born this way. I'm on the right track, baby, I was born this way. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Whether you're broke or evergreen. You're black, white, beige, cola descent, you're Lebanese, you're Orient. Whether life's disabilities left you outcast, bullied, or teased, rejoice and love yourself today, cause baby, you were born this way. No matter gay, straight, or bi, lesbian, transgendered life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white, or beige, cola, or Orient made, I'm on the right track, baby. I was born to be brave. I'm beautiful in my way, because God makes no mistakes. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. Don't hide yourself in regret. Just love yourself and you're set. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. Yay. The 2016 NFL Super Bowl halftime celebrity performer is full of Illuminati symbols and is a satanic witch. Her heroine is Marina Abramović. Lady Gaga is a very sophisticated occultist. Practically everything she does is related to secret, authentic, ancient, fundamental rituals, mythology, and Luciferian worship. My conclusion, Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Did we say a little tip of unfruitful work of darkness? But rather do what? Reprove them. That's what I'm doing. I'm reproving them. Now go back up to the picture. That's a viper, right? You notice your right eye is covered. That's an Illuminati symbol. Simple. Usually they'll have their hair covering the eye. Oh, the one eye. The picture above of Abramović will not be shown in the stories about her normalcy. There's all kinds of stories out. All the dinner was a regular dinner between Podesta and her. They will also leave out the following. What is Abramović's Twitter account address? Abramović M. Oh, 666. 666 is the number of the beast. Aleister Crowley says, "I am the 666. I am the evilest person in the world." Abramović's parents were high-ranking communists. She is disciple of Satanist Aleister Crowley. She has had 3 abortions. She has performed different satanic art performances in museums located in Serbia, England, and America. She carved a pentagram on her belly. Gwen Stefani, Kim Kardashian, Robert Redford, Beyonce and Jay-Z, Usher, Will Ferrell, Robert De Niro, Pamela Anderson, Lady Gaga, Hillary Clinton, Huma Abedin, John Podesta, Governor Jerry Brown, former mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, the Reddit CEO, etc., have all attended and approve of her spiritual cooking dinners. And there was over 61 tables of them there. This is a huge number of people. She is cut out of Central Europe, Serbia, right in the middle of Central Europe, caught up in the old world of powerful international satanic shadows, mind control, and taught to consume blood and flesh against biblical law. Brina has a direct association with old European Luciferian houses. And the old world European witch, Abramović, mentored Lady Gaga in the occult too. They simulate old world medieval cannibalism. What people were promised by God to be the victors over all people they encountered as long as they kept his word. Do you remember what was said in our introductory verses? In our imprecatory prayer, let us remember to reprove these evil beings working in the darkness of the world. May our God eliminate them from being our entertainers, politicians, and business leaders. If we keep God's law, God said, I'm going to quote the verse, the introductory verse. It said, "For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that you go, that you go and tread upon." The fear of you should be on them. But if you don't keep the law, "Howbeit no man spake openly of him," referring to Jesus Christ, "for fear of the Jews." I'm so thankful we're going to have imprecatory prayer. These Satanists, occultists are our entertainers. They make the movies. They set things up. They are the politicians, the high-ranking politicians especially, but even the low-ranking politicians. Business leaders. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Amen.